This morning's Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to his plan, of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit of God, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Yeah.
Thanks, Jesse. Everybody hear me okay? You can? Keep this in your hands because we're going to refer to it quite a bit this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have wonderful plans for each one of us. Included in that plan is that we came here this morning to hear your word. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit, who knows our hearts, will minister to each one of us from your word as we hear it, and that you'll speak to us according to our individual needs. Ask your blessing on Pastor Dan and family as they return today from holidays, and all those mums and dads in this church with kids at home on holidays. We ask your blessing and your help tomorrow as they go back to school. Lord, we just ask your blessing on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians is a wonderful book. It starts from eternity past, right back at the beginning. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it goes right off into the future and talks about the blessings that are still to come when the Lord returns and we go to be with him for eternity. And just for a few short years, we're here on planet Earth. Jesse's been here more than 70, and I've just reached that. So we aren't promised much more. And it doesn't seem all that long ago that I arrived here. It's amazing how God plans things. We, as some of you know, live in unit number 6, just over the fence there. And when we were coming to look at properties for rental, we could have gone to Margate. We were in Blackmans Bay before, and we ended up in Snug. I had no idea there was a church over the fence, but God knew that. And he knows the needs of this church, and we're all members of the body, and God has a function for each one of us and brings us together for his purposes. Around the corner is a little Brethren church. I used to speak there many years ago, and some of the leaders in that church I was a leader with in Midway Point for 20 years. And I used to travel with the Bureau of Statistics and visit places like Scottsdale and Flinders Island and King Island doing population surveys. And I used to stop for home groups during the trips, and one of the home groups was at Scottsdale, and one of the guy who owned the house that we used to meet in is now one of the elders around the corner. So it's amazing how God sort of orders things, isn't it? Nothing happens by accident. I've been out during the week giving out cards because Linda is a hairdresser, so we're trying to drum up a little bit of business for her, and I've had a few responses, and it's interesting the people you meet. One is a lady who lives at number 12, a French lady, and while Linda was cutting her hair, I had a bit of a chat with her, and she said, you know, my granddaughter came home from school and asked me, Nanny, what's God like? Because she goes to St. Aloysius School. So we had a good conversation. She said, I didn't know what to say because I don't know God. People know about religion, and no doubt in France she would have grown up maybe Catholic and learnt a bit at school, kids do. But God has a purpose in all of that. And he uses little things that happen to us to bring us to himself. We don't realise that God is seeking us. In my own case, I lived at a place called Dunalley and moved there in 1952 as a four-year-old, so you can do the maths. and my mum came to know Jesus while we were there. Some people, evangelists, visited the town, and she came to know the Lord. And then she became the Dunalley evangelist, and she sowed many, many seeds. Now there's a little church at Copping, which I've visited from time to time. And the pastor of that church until recently, his wife was in my mum's scripture class back in Dunalley Primary School. She and he, her husband, when she grew up, went to the Philippines as missionaries for 10 years to a place called Bacolod, which is on one of the bigger islands called Negros. I'm married to a Filipina, and the first Sunday we're here, I hear, oh, we're going off to the Philippines on a mission trip. That's not a coincidence, is it? God is working. And God's working in your life too. And we sometimes don't see because, and I'm not saying this critically, but I've done it myself, we can be like Eli. You know, we can pray but not watch. But when we watch, the answers come. And so it's good to pray and to watch. I love the book of Ephesians. It's a book about relationships. And the most important relationship is that one, our relationship with God. There's six chapters, and the first three chapters are all about our relationship with God. The next three chapters are about our relationship horizontally with others in this world, including the enemy in chapter six, where it talks about the armour that we need to take. Take the whole armour of God. So a book about relationships. We read the first 14 verses. So I want you to look in those verses now with me and just notice a few things about this book. First thing we notice is that God seems to be doing it all. And some people think that on one extreme. Some people think that God preordains and directs everything and we really are just... like a robot that God has programmed to do what he wants us to do. And that's how it might appear when you read through the first bit of this chapter. If you have a look at it, in verse 3 it says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In verse 4 it says, he has chosen us before the creation of the world. In verse 5, he predestined us. And he adopted us. We became his children. And then in verse 7, it says he has redeemed us. He has forgiven us our sins. He's made known to us in verse 9 the mystery of his will. And then in verse 9 again it says, he purposed in Christ according to his good pleasure. And so it's all about what God's done for us. So what's our part? Well, as you read on, you read in verse 11 again, he has chosen us, he has predestined us. It's according to his will. And then in verse 12, it changes. And we get the other side of the story. We get what is our part in this relationship with God that we can enter into. He predestined us according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope or our trust in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Now he's talking about himself and the other apostles. But then he says in verse 13, and you also were included in Christ. That's us. When were we included? You were included in Christ when you heard the message, when you heard the message of truth, the good news, gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. There's God again. God is the one who seals us with his Spirit, but we are the ones who hear and believe. Or do we? According to the Bible, we can have two responses to what we hear. There's a verse that says, and it's in the book of Hebrews three times, and it's a quote from one of the Psalms. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you will hear. You know, we make two choices. It's a bit like a computer being programmed. And I made this little discovery. I didn't read it in a book, but I saw it in the Word. And then I start to see it everywhere through the Word. If you will hear, that's number one. Some people choose not to hear. I offered a taxi driver a little tract one day, and he said, no, not for me. He chose not to hear. But some people will hear. They will open the Bible and read it. I've got a friend, we attend three churches some Sundays. Our home church is the Church with No Walls up in the city opposite Hungry Jack's in North Hobart. And then at 4 o'clock, when we can, we go to a church that's being planted in Glenorchy by an Indian man, Raj. He works for the Multicultural Council in Moona. You know, God's doing some amazing stuff. I was thinking to myself, you know, one ethnic group that isn't being touched by the gospel in Hobart is the Indian community. And then God raises up an Indian pastor. He's been recognised now by the Baptist Church. And he's got a group that are meeting in the Uniting Church building in Glenorchy in the afternoon. And Raj, his mission is to reach Glenorchy, a hard place to reach, but that's his mission. And he's now got a group of pastors from the different churches. There's Ananias, what's his name, Linda? Ananias, that's right, the African pastor. And there's some others. And there's about 10 or 12 of them get together, I think, monthly to pray for the city of Glenorchy. And God will work, and God is working. Well, Raj, when he first came to Australia, was a Hindu, and he had little idols, and he used to pray to them. And the Hindus have got hundreds, if not thousands, of gods that they worship, including rivers and all sorts of things. And And Raj was given a Bible by somebody, and he took the Bible and he put it on his shelf next to his idols and he prayed to it. That's what he did. He's written down his story. I've got it. He's going to get it printed, but I've got a copy of his testimony, and it's an amazing testimony, because one day, after having that Bible and praying to it for about 6 months along with the other idols, he opened it. Today, if you're here, harden not your heart. And he softened his heart to what he was reading, and he got born again. And now he can't stop him. He's just going flat out for God because of this new life that's within him. That's what Paul talks about here. You were included in Christ when you heard. Today, if you will hear God's voice. Step number two, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Whatever it is God has spoken to you about, and preeminently it's got to be our relationship with him, you need to soften your heart. Today, not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear, harden not your heart. We need to have a soft heart. There was a guy called Keith Green who sang a song about that. If you soften your heart. He sang songs that were spot on with the Word of God, almost straight out of the Bible, every one of them. And his life had an amazing impact back in the 70s. So Paul prays to the people now in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, vertical, and your love for God's people, horizontal. When God pours his love into us, he wants to work that love out through us to others. We need to, as the golden rule says, love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and love our neighbour as ourself. The lady in number 12. So that is what Paul prays for here. Verse 16, he prays, there's two prayers in Ephesians. This one in chapter 1, there's another one in chapter 3. And all the time when he's praying, it's not about that they might do this and do that and do the other. Let me just finish firstly the fact that when you soften your heart, there are two outputs of that decision. Like garbage in, garbage out. That's what the computer world says. You put good stuff in, good stuff comes out. You know, the first thing that happens when we soften our heart to God's word is we receive enlightenment. Our mind, our thinking is changed, because this is God's thinking, his logos, his logic. This is his mind here. And when you take that mind and you put it in your mind, then you become and behave like him. And that's what he wants. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Spirit of God wrote the word of God, inspired people to write it. And when we read the word of God, and we allow the Spirit of God freedom in our lives, our thinking changes. And you know what comes next? The second output? A change in mind leads to a change in behaviour. So we hear, we soften, we are enlightened, and we live differently. Our lives are changed. You can see it in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies, what you do, your actions, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. But what does it say first? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of the mind leads to the body being presented to God as a living sacrifice. Paul prays like that here. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, verse 16 of chapter 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom, that he might change the way you think and the way you decide things. Wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, there it is, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And we might think, well, why doesn't Paul pray that they'll all become missionaries? No, you see, if God changes our thinking, the behaviour will follow. So if God changes the way we think, then the way we behave will follow. As a man or a woman thinks in his heart, so is he. The way we think in our heart, if God's word's there, that's the way we will be. That's the kind of person that people will see. You know, when Luke wrote in Acts chapter 1, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Lord Jesus said, and you will be my witnesses. He didn't say you will do witnessing. The greatest witness that we can give to people is our life, the way we live and what we do. That is what will impact them, not what we say. So the lady across the road won't be changed in her thinking by clever arguments and discussion. It will be that she sees we love her. That's what will change her. When you love people, they know that you love them. And it's not something you do in 5 minutes. It's a whole commitment. So here he prays that they may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power to us who believe. Our belief sets loose in our lives God's power. If we believe, we will see his power at work. And I'm not talking about, you know, miraculous power, that can happen, but I'm talking about the greatest power, the greatest demonstration of his power is something you read about here. In verse 1 of chapter 2, and I'll finish with this, he says, as for you who were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, the way you used to live, and following the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, we all lived among them, verse 3, at one time gratifying the cravings of our flesh, but because of his great love, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ and raised us up together with him. He talks about Jesus' resurrection at the end of chapter 1. He says, his mighty strength, you'll know that when you believe, and then he gives a demonstration of that great power. He says, when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand, and then in chapter 2 he says, and you, he can raise up to a new kind of life. And that's the greatest demonstration of God's power that we will see, our life being changed. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read earlier in Romans, he was demonstrated as the Son of God in power when he was raised from the dead. And Lord, I know that we are seen as God's sons and daughters when we are raised from our old life to a new life. Lord, he was of the seed of David according to the flesh, but he was shown to be your son according to the Spirit and the Spirit's power. Lord, I know that we are children according to the flesh to our family name, But according to the Spirit, we are your children and seem to be such when your Spirit moves in power in our lives. I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to be listening to your word, opening it, reading it each day, and then that we might soften our hearts to the things that you speak to us about from time to time as we open your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.